Om Agyana Tumarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Gura Shri Yudha Parakamalam Shigram Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Ginabanda Vigatate Vesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishilavana Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapa Trivyascha Kripa Sinu Vivacha Patiranam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Thank you all for coming. Him also. He didn't have a choice, so. Still, he gets some credit. So I'm going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, text number 65. Manmanava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosime. You're not going to hold us for the whole time, are you?
Wait for
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Please repeat. Always think of me.
Always think of me.
Become my devotee.
Become my devotee.
Worship me.
Worship me.
And offer your homage unto me.
And offer your homage unto me.
Thus you will come to me without fail.
Thus you will come to me without fail.
I promise you this.
I promise you this.
Because you are my very dear friend.
Because you are my very dear friend.
Prabhupada, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. And one should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours a day, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he'll be engaged in the association of who, face to face? Yes, good guess. The most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of?
Krishna.
You're reading my mind. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to
Krishna
and attain the same perfection as
Krishna.
Arjuna. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon the very form with two hands holding, carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead,
Krishna.
One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multiple forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of
Krishna
constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to?
Arjuna.
Disclosed to Krishna. Arjuna, yeah. Because Arjuna is the dear, most dear friend of?
Krishna.
So what word is repeated the most here?
Krishna.
Yes. You've counted. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratidani priyosi me. Always think of me, become my devotee. Always think of me, become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Always think of me, become my devotee. Worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tadamane Namaste Sarasutam Deve Koravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shinivadi Pasthetyade Sutarane. So this passage of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is very difficult for someone to understand because, generally speaking, we don't really know that much about Krishna. Or we've heard a lot about Krishna. And actually hearing about Krishna means to associate with him. But depending on how much experience we have in that association, we take it seriously or not so seriously. To think about someone all the time, to worship someone, always think of me, become Krishna's devotee, worship him, offer a homage unto him, we actually have to have direct experience of him. Otherwise, it's quite theoretical that we hear that Krishna is in a place called Goloka Vrindavan. We also hear he's in our heart, but we don't see him necessarily. And we may have some relation with him as the deity. We may have some experience through our present and past devotional activities of experiencing what Krishna is like. But still, due to the nature of being covered by illusion, if we look ourselves in the mirror, we actually believe I have some connection with this body. Although, it's not going to be a very long connection. Although we think it is. We think, this is it. This is real. I'm going to be here for practically ever. Everyone else won't be here forever, but I'll be here forever. I'll be here to say goodbye to everyone. So we think like that. This world we think is something real, and therefore as much as we think that this world is real, and our identification with this body, and this subtle mind, and our conception of life has some reality, to that extent we think Krishna is kind of like a nice idea. Be nice if it was true, but it's kind of like in the background somewhere. It's almost on the level of the Good Fairy or something. Or Santa Claus. Therefore, Krishna has to speak Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. so much literature is there just to convince us that actually we're not the body and that Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead with everything that applies or implies. But unless we actually experience it remains rather theoretical. But here Krishna tells us how to get that experience. We should try to arrange our lives that throughout the 24 hours a day, we cannot help but think of Krishna. Because generally people don't do that, and they're not about to do it immediately. Therefore, we should arrange our lives that throughout at least 2 hours a day, we think about Krishna. And if we can't do that, we should arrange our lives that at least 10 minutes a day, we think about Krishna. The idea being that somehow or another, we might gradually get some experience of what it means to be Krishna conscious. And at the same time, just 10 minutes a day or 2 hours a day, or even 10 hours a day, it's very difficult to get a sufficiently strong experience in Krishna consciousness so that we're fully determined to become Krishna conscious. Of course, Prabhupada said 16 rounds a day and follow four of the principles. We don't chant Hare Krishna, it's going to be very hard to actually follow the four of the principles. And if we don't follow the four of the principles, it's going to be very hard to actually chant 16 rounds a day. Very difficult. So they go together. And at the same time, unless we get something more than just 16 rounds a day and four of the principles, unless we get something that fills in the other, say, 22 hours a day, it's almost like taking iron and putting it into the fire for 2 hours a day, and then for the other part of the day we put it into ice water. And we expect that the iron is going to be very hot. No, we have to arrange our lives as more than 2 hours a day, as much as possible, or at least 2 hours a day, but as much as possible, we're doing something that's connected to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told us, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amar Aga Guruhana Tari Desh. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't waste his words. Wasn't they asked him, what should I do? And he said, well, I can't figure it out. Okay. Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Whoever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. Because that's called preaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants everyone to be a preacher, to become guru, instructor. So does that mean everyone has to give up their job and go out and distribute books? What's his name?
Devaki.
Devaki. It's a girl.
Yes. Oh.
Devaki, how many books did you distribute today? Is that the only thing that we're supposed to do is distribute books? Or maybe is it the only thing we're supposed to do is go on Harinam or distribute prasadam and everything else we're just wasting our time? No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has suggested that whoever we meet, and that might even meet, we might even meet our wife or our husband, so we don't think, oh, this is just my wife or husband. Oh, those are the kids. Here, they're always running around the house making disturbance. No, we should remember that they're also Krishna's servants. Even Devaki is Krishna's servant, believe it or not. Of course, she's not doing very much service right now. I guess, is the milk offered?
I mean, the one I do, yeah.
Yeah. So, at least she's taking prasadam.
She offers her toy cookie to the altar at home.
Oh, okay. To the cookie god. So, whoever we meet, whether it's our children, or our wife, or husband, or our friends, then we should at least think, is there anything I can do to help them become Krishna conscious? That's called becoming more serious. Not that I have my sadhana as Prabhupada said, he was chanting on his rounds, and Shruti Kirti was there, and he got done with 16 rounds, and then he pulled up his counter beads, and he threw his beads on the table. He said, now I'm finished with my 16 rounds, and I can do any damn thing I want. No, if we actually have that vision, take it seriously, that Krishna actually is in everyone's heart, and Krishna actually has a mission, and that mission is to help people become Krishna conscious, then that's the best way of helping ourselves become Krishna conscious. It's not that we're going to chant perfect round and go back to Godhead. Or we'll hear the perfect class and then we'll get, you know, we'll go back to the spiritual world. No, we actually have to engage in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission if we want to go back to Godhead. There are some devotees think, well, you know, they're so austere going out and this, you know, doing the mission. It's for less advanced people. That we've been in the movement for at least 10 years. We've become highly advanced, and we're going to go to Radhakund, and there we're going to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna just by listening to them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came. He was a nice man. He was Krishna conscious. And that's what he did. He just sat in the Gambhira and listened to Radha Krishna's pastime, Ramananda Roy and Sarup Damodar. They were telling him all the time. And Nityananda, he was not so advanced. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him out door to door with Haridas Thakur, who also was kind of a neophyte like devotee. And therefore, all they could do was chant and preach. They couldn't really stay in one place. They were too restless. So, but we're much more advanced than Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and all their and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. We're just going to sit in Radhakund and relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and become purified and go back to Godhead and the hell with everyone else. So we may take that path. But from what I heard of Radhakund, I doubt whether anyone there is actually going back to Godhead. In the sense that, without taking up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age, no one could really understand what the purpose of service to Krishna means in this age. Krishna himself comes and preaches. He sends his eternal associates with him, they all come and preach, and we, the conditioned souls, are going to sit around and listen to Radha Krishna pastimes and drink tea and have pizza and go back to Godhead. And all these other, you know, souls out there, unless they come and surrender, unless Krishna in their heart says, go to the Hare Krishna movement and sit around and listen to Radha Krishna's pastimes, you need pizza, go back to Godhead with him. No, obviously, it's Chaitanya. God himself is coming. Radha and Krishna are coming. The person they're supposedly meditating on, the two people, Radha and Krishna, they're coming and preaching. And we're not supposed to preach. We're supposed to sit around and just think about the two people that are out preaching. No, if we wanted, we have to take it seriously. I mean, going out and distributing books is very important, but it's not everything either. We also have to become more serious, so that even when we associate with devotees or those who are aspiring to become devotees, we're also dealing with them as if they were devotees, if they're actually servants of Krishna, not something else. We're not going to be able to realize the spiritual quality of the persons we're dealing with, anyone, either devotees or Krishna, or the innocent people, or the animals, or the insects, or anything in this world. This world remains material if we deal with it as if it was material, and especially if we deal with the devotees, whether it's whoever they may be, as if they were just ordinary persons who were engaged in the material, if they were actually kind of spiritual, but actually the material. Oh yeah, and my service to them is to try to figure out how I can engage them in my service so they can become purified. Because that's the mentality of material existence, is everyone's looking at each other trying to figure out what they can get from them. They may put on a show, you know, I'm your servant, because that's the best way of getting things from people. Claim that you're the servant, and they say, oh, so nice. I always wanted a servant. You are my supreme God, and I love you. I'm surrendered to you. And you go, yes, yes, that's so nice. And what can and now I only have one thing. I need your benedictions. Give me your benedictions. Do this for me, do that for me, do this other thing for me, because I'm your surrendered servant. So everyone's claiming, somehow or another, mostly we're trying to put on a show for at least our friends or our family, as if we're their servant, but we're actually trying to figure out how we can get something from them, even though it's Christmas, whatever that means, holiday shopping. And most people are going to calculate. You know, last year I gave this person this present, was worth so much. They gave me this present, so much of a present, was worth that much. And now, since I'm short, you know, $55 of my present, I'm going to short them $55 this year so I can make it back. Profit and loss calculations in our relationships. Even if it's not money, it's, you know, they said something nice about me, and therefore I'm going to say something nice about them. Just so, even so I don't feel like I'm obligated to them. Or I'm going to say something nice about them, so they'll say something nice about me. I'll say, oh, you're so wonderful. You're so effulgent. You're the nicest person I ever met. You're the most wonderful devotee. And go tell my friends how nice I am, too. I'll make you feel good, and then you make me feel good. Nothing to do with making Krishna feel good. Krishna, oh, sorry. Well, we make Krishna feel good so that he can make us feel good. Which is all right, I mean, in one sense. If we make Krishna feel good, then we'll actually feel good. But the idea is, just like if so-called romance or relationship, if you told your romantic partner, my dear romantic partner, actually I don't really love you, I love myself. But somehow or another I got to get you to love me so I can get some service from you. And it seems the only way I can do that is to trick you into thinking I love you. I love you, I'd love to eat you and devour you. Get whatever I can out of you. Chew you up, and then when I can, I spit you out. In a nice place, though, if I can. So that's materialistic consciousness, and that's the way the material world actually works. Although we wouldn't like to think about that, it would be rather unpleasant to think that actually this person doesn't love me, they're trying to get something from me, either praise, adoration, they want me to always think of them, they want me to become their devotee, they want me to worship them, they want me to offer my homage unto them. Bow down, mister. That's what they want, but they don't say that. They say, I want to become your servant. I want to serve you. It's like you go to a job, you tell the employer, I just want to serve you, your employer. If you really want to serve your boss. No, we're serving the money that the boss is giving us. If the money stops, the service stops. And the money we're using to serve our senses, or other people's senses, because they serve our senses. So ultimately, why are we serving our senses? Because they make us feel good, supposedly. So actually, we're just serving ourselves. But if we actually realize that we're only particle of Krishna, and everyone's a particle of Krishna, it's a lot more fun serving the Supreme Whole, who's all blissful. Because we're a little blissful. We love ourselves. At least we have some love. We have some love for whoever we think we may be. But if we become aware of Krishna and find out how wonderful he is, we'll love him more than we love ourselves. Because we're already included within Krishna. Therefore, whatever we'll see Krishna within Krishna ourselves, but we'll see something much more wonderful than even ourselves. And it's much more pleasurable to serve Krishna than to serve anyone. So Krishna and his name are not different. The point is, we're just distracted because we're anxious. We're anxious to get, you know, we think we need so many things in this material world. We're not even aware of how needy we feel. Sometimes we think, I just need a good meal and I'll feel all right. But actually, we feel very needy in the material world. Everyone is identified with this body. They feel completely unprotected. Well, not completely. They feel they need so many things to protect them. They need so many, they have to put on, do so many things for their security, for their advancement, for their protection, for their appreciation, whatever. So everyone feels very needy in the material world. And therefore, everyone's anxious all the time. So when we hear the holy name, we can't hear it because we're not relaxed enough to hear it. We can't really experience it very well because we're too anxious. We're too anxious to become happy. So this, the actual thing that will make us happy, we can't experience. Therefore, the process of devotional service to become aware, first of all, of the fact that we should become a servant of Krishna. And that service to Krishna means we have to work as much as possible in our relationships to make them Krishna conscious. And the closer we are to people, the more it's going to be work to make that relationship Krishna conscious, because we're very much conditioned. If you tell a husband or you tell the wife that your husband is Krishna's servant, or you tell the wife, your husband, or the husband, your wife is Krishna's servant, or the children are Krishna's servant, to keep that in mind throughout the day, that I'm actually serving Krishna's servants, is very difficult. It's easier on the street to meet someone for 3.5 minutes and to sell them a book. Well, first of all, because there's nothing else to do with them. Generally speaking, there's no other relationship we're going to have with them. They didn't, and we it's easy to tell them how wonderful they are for 3.5 minutes. If you had to live with them, you probably wouldn't feel they were so wonderful. That's why sometimes the devotees, they think when they go out and they do a lot of book distribution, they think, oh, the people are so nice out there. I meet so many nice people. It's just when I come back with the devotees that I get into difficulty. They're difficult. There's so many nice people out there. I don't know why the devotees couldn't be nice like they are. But of course, if you moved into their house and had to live with them, then it might be a different story. In any case, the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to tell people about Krishna, we especially get empowered if we go out and distribute books, because it's a intense experience where one has to very quickly relate to people in such a way as to encourage them to take a book and give a donation. So that requires a lot of dependency upon Krishna. And that same dependency upon Krishna will have to be there if we make our other relationships Krishna conscious too. So part of that we have to see with proper discrimination. Not that my wife is Krishna's devotee, and therefore she's not really my wife. No, to simultaneously, or my husband's Krishna's devotee, therefore we're going to have a brother-sister relationship now. But to have a relationship of husband and wife at the same time be Krishna conscious is rather, it requires a lot of spiritual intelligence. To relate to the other devotees requires a lot of spiritual intelligence. Especially if the devotees, because even in the Hare Krishna movement, they have so many conceptions which are basically wrong. That's called neophyte devotee. And we can't expect we're going to have so many Mahabhagavats in the movement. No, we're basically dealing with devotees on different levels of advancement. We have to relate to them in such a way as that we retain our Krishna consciousness and we help them become more Krishna conscious. So that's an art, it's a science of doing that. And then if we do that with Krishna, if we actually try to feel Krishna's presence when we're chanting Hare Krishna and give up our anxiety about so many things that happened to us in the past and all our anxiety about the future and just actually become Krishna conscious. Worship not only the deity, but worship the holy name. And then try to make our relations with the devotees in terms of Krishna consciousness. Then it'll be much easier to understand why we're trying to make others into devotees. Then it'll be easier to understand why we don't want to waste our time with persons who are trying to withdraw our minds and others away from Krishna. Otherwise, it becomes all very mysterious. If we hear sometimes we should read the books, we should worship the deities, we should chant Hare Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said that we have to tell everyone about Krishna. We have to get engaged people as much as possible in these activities, and then we'll make progress towards becoming Krishna conscious ourselves. So the background is everything and everyone. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everyone belongs to Krishna. And we have to make our lives in such a way as that it becomes a reality. When we read the books, it's very simple. It says, for instance, Yavat Sanjayate Kinshit Satvam Stavara Jangamam Kshetra Kshetra Gayam Sam Yogat Tadvidi Varatarshava. O Son of Bharata, whatever you see in existence is only a combination of the field of activities and the knower of the field. So life is actually quite simple. There's only the material nature, and there's only the souls within the material nature, the soul, the super soul, and the individual souls, and that's it. And the one who can see the super soul accompanying with the soul, souls within all the different bodies, and who knows that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, he can actually see. One who sees a soul, super soul, equal everywhere, does not degrade himself by his mind, and thus approaches the supreme destination. So life is actually quite simple, and it becomes simple if we just accept what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and we act according to it, so that we stop thinking, well, this is my wife, this is only thinking, this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my cat, this is my dog, this is my friends, this is, you know, my godbrothers, or even godsisters. That whole conception that I belong to a certain part of the Hare Krishna movement, it also can be a kind of maya, illusion. Actually, if my spiritual master is very elevated, then he'll teach me how to see all the other devotees as Krishna's servants, primarily. They may have their identities in different ways, but their first identity is Krishna's servant. That is our natural identity. And being Krishna's servant, we may have different services to Krishna in this world, but my real identity is Krishna's servant. Therefore, we see like that, we act like that, then we'll become Krishna conscious. We'll actually be able to understand what the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Then the chanting Hare Krishna will actually become more effective. Because it won't be, part of my life is in the temple when I chant Hare Krishna, or in my home when I chant Hare Krishna, and the other part of my life is just the practical everyday being in maya. And that's expected because, you know, I'm a neophyte. I was born a neophyte. I was raised a neophyte. And I'll die a neophyte. I'm a born-again neophyte. And no one's going to tell me. You know, they may preach to me until, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back again. But I'm going to stick with my conception because it wouldn't be very much fun to just be so surrendered. Besides that, I'd be the only one so surrendered. And they'd have me do all the work. No, we actually have to take up this. We have to try to do it, and then Krishna will actually give us the intelligence how to do it, how to actually be Krishna conscious in our relationships. And then that may require that we have more you know, openness to Krishna, to let us know, to remind us that everyone is Krishna's servant, and then how to actually serve them, to help them become Krishna conscious. That's another, you know, whole aspect of higher intelligence. Not that higher intelligence is how to make more money, get a better job, a more comfortable bed to sleep in, you know, learn Ayurveda so that I can die healthy. Learn astrology so I can find out how great a person I really am, although no one else thinks like that. No, the whole idea is to become Krishna conscious, to actually get the intelligence, to actually learn to serve others. Because if we actually serve others sincerely, then at least we'll be Krishna conscious. Then wherever we go, we'll actually be in the spirit, on the spiritual platform. And if we don't do that, we may become expert in everything else, and everyone will appreciate us, tell us how wonderful we are, and we think, well, finally people have gotten some intelligence. We may become expert at getting everyone's appreciation, but that won't help our service attitude very much. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
When we're just starting out and it's hard to focus on Krishna directly all the time, how close is it to focus on Guru? Because that's easier sometimes.
Well, the Krishna and the Guru are not different. I mean, obviously there is, hopefully there's some difference. The Guru doesn't usually stand in the threefold bending form and say, actually I'm not different. They're not different in the sense that everyone else is non-different also from Krishna. There's nothing but Krishna. But some things help us remember Krishna more easily. And therefore in that sense, because Krishna's mission is to remind us about Krishna, therefore because they help us remind us about Krishna more easily, therefore they become to us more non-different from Krishna. But it's all Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna's souls within this material world. Everything is an expansion of Krishna. And Krishna, ultimately the souls, whether they're doing things to please Krishna or they're doing things to please themselves, but because they're not different from Krishna also, therefore ultimately Krishna is doing everything. Well, one thing is that whatever is going on, whatever energy is being moved, is all being moved by Krishna through his energy. Some souls are trying to do things to please Krishna, therefore they'll help us remember Krishna more easily. And some souls are not aware of Krishna, they're doing things in ignorance, although they're also serving Krishna, but they're doing it in ignorance. And therefore we may not remember Krishna through them so easily. So in the sense that that's Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, they help us remember Krishna more easily, and therefore we say they're non-different from Krishna. They're non-different, especially in Krishna's interest. And that way they help us remember Krishna more easily.
So as long as we're remembering them as servants of Krishna, and it's easier with a guru or somebody, so...
Yeah, you have to see that they're talking about Krishna, they're serving Krishna, therefore it's easier for us to remember Krishna through them. Someone else on the street, they're talking about, you know, I don't know what's going on in sports, but there's something about sports, I think... I guess the World Series, I don't know when they finished the World Series, but I don't even know if anyone was interested in that. something, you know, that has nothing to do with Krishna. I don't know what's going on in the material world right now. I'm not really so sure. I guess something about Iran or something. You know, they may tell us something about Iran. So, I mean, Iran is also belonging to Krishna. If we're Krishna conscious, we'll understand it's also Krishna's arrangements, whatever is going on there. But we're like, because they're not aware of their relation with Krishna, that particular place, we may forget Krishna and actually think, you know, or like in America when I grew up, the Russians are coming, because they eventually arrived here. But the Russians are coming and they're, the only aim is to take away our freedom. enslave us into communism. So we thought like that. So we were meditating on the Russians. Some people died who were meditating like that. They took birth in Russia. And became enslaved by communism. So that didn't help us remember Krishna, such association. Well, we can hear about Prabhupada going to Russia and then preaching to the people there, and you know that will help us become Krishna conscious, because it's, we're seeing it in relation to Krishna and how Krishna consciousness spread there. Anything else? Moment of silence. When we ask questions, sometimes it becomes, before everyone was, babies were crying and everything, so much noise, but as soon as he asked for a question, you hear everyone think. Okay.
Questions that are inappropriate?
What's that?
Are there questions that are inappropriate to ask?
Yes, certainly. I guess the next question is, when is Prashanam? Thank you very much. Grantarai Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.